And we're on the air. This is the Taylor Report. I'm Phil Taylor. With me is Phil Conlon. How are you doing, Phil?
Good afternoon, Phil.
Today we're going to talk to Corey Weir of Local 222 of Unifor about a development with that union. There's been it's actually sort of front page news from time to time that Unifor is leaving the Canadian Labour Congress or has left and perhaps did not leave in the appropriate way. And that's what we're going to ask Corey Weir about because we have this, a ongoing labor crisis of a sort. And also later we will talk with Norman Otis Richmond, the bluesologist, about the passing of Aretha Franklin and about her, who she was exactly, the movement she supported and her great music. And Otis knows about both, so we'll be doing that. That'll be later on in the show. And I'm going to tell people, and Phil, you're, of course, Phil Conlon is the labor man, and before we get started here, there is a picket line of IATSE.
That's right. IATSE, the International Association of Theatrical Stage Employees, is locked out by the CNE Board of Governors, who are actually trying to break the union. They don't have any particular issue. They could have negotiated an agreement. The workers were willing to keep working and arbitrate it. No.
This is CNE and right now.
It's a CNE and it's right now, and the CNE is operating with scab labor.
I saw a crew from Alberta and from Quebec. I think Corey's on the line, but we'll just wind this up. So there is a statement now today from Metro Labor Leader.
From John Cartwright. Also, there's a breaking news, which is a majority of the city councilors have petitioned a special meeting to be held to the city council tomorrow to try to deal with it and get a settlement.
But the statement coming from the Labor Council is that they're not going to cross that the line on Labor Day.
That's right. The Labor Day marchers will not go into the CNE if the picket lines are still there.
So
yes.
Good. And people can go to
IATSE Local 58 has a website, IATSE Local 58, and you put that in your search engine and you'll find their website.
It's like checking the weather before you go out. Go to that site, find out what's up. Thank you, Phil Conlon. We're joined now, I believe, by Corey Weir. Are you there, Corey?
Yes, I am. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Corey, boy. Labor is in the middle of everything, and you are with Local 222, an activist, and you are also one of the proprietors of a great website, Solinet. I urge everybody to go to that. We introduced the show by saying that our listeners will remember that some months back there was headlines across Canada and other labor movements around the world noted that a major union, that would be your union, Unifor, announced that it was going to leave the Canadian Labor Congress. And you, your local, 222, had questions about that. Just to set that up, what was the issue? What caused this this crisis to start developing?
Do you mean what started the CLC disaffiliation begin with?
Why did they say they were leaving the executive board?
They had qualms with Article 4 of the CLC Constitution regarding rating, basically. They wanted to be able to scoop up members, the hotel workers in Toronto. Of course, that would have got us kicked out of the CLC, so we decided to take our ball and go home instead of, working within the CLC, where we actually can do that work, to correct this problem.
Mm-hmm. So, and one of the steps that was taken in your local is to challenge the decision of the board. Is that your national executive board? Is that what you did?
Yeah, we did. At our at a local general membership meeting, we filed the appeal. It passed. No one even spoke against it at the membership meeting, actually. And, it's been a long process, but we finally got a ruling back from the public review board.
How early in the game did you do that? It was roughly the month? When? How long ago? And what? How did that process unfold?
In our guidelines, we have about 30 days from the date of a decision being made for an appeal to be filed. So I believe it would have been either early or mid-February or possibly March. I forget now. I know it was several, at least half a year ago.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very impressed. Unifor has an appeal process. Wait, tell us about that. It goes to a public review board, and what is that?
Yeah, so basically the public review board, it's actually in our constitution. Unifor shall have an independent, final, external review board known as the public review board. Mm-hmm. The purpose of the public review board is to ensure fairness and democratic practice for all union members and to safeguard the moral and ethical standards set out in the constitution and the code of ethics.
Yeah, your article, I urge people to go to it, Sullinet. You cover this very nice. This is a good labor history as well as being a question that you're dealing with immediately. The point is raised there that this public review board that was established by Walter at the time of when Walter Reuther was the leader of your union. That would have been when it was United Auto Workers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was actually to safeguard us. So, unions were under attack from claims that they weren't democratic.
Yeah.
But also, that was in place to stop, and I can't believe the irony here, to stop American labor leaders from trampling on Canadian workers' rights.
So, and so, Reuther put that in there and as a way to protect from just that.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. So, here you are in Local 222 exercising that right, which you had as a result of the membership in United Auto Workers, which became the Canadian Auto Workers, which became Unifor. I hope this is – people will rest for a while and just have Unifor because I've had trouble following the names.
yeah, hopefully.
So you made the appeal some months back. It is a kind of a coincidence of timing here. All these months have gone by, and now two things happened very quickly. But – you've got a decision. When did the decision come and what did they say?
So, yeah, the decision was handed down on August 14th. Basically, in their decision, they said, we have determined that Unifor acted unreasonably in its interpretation of Article 19.2. Article 19.2 states that suspension or disaffiliation from the Canadian Labour Congress may be authorized by the National Executive Board subject to approval of convention or the Canadian Council.
Mm-hmm.
So they ruled that based on the current wording of the Constitution, a decision by the NEB to disaffiliate from the CLC must be approved by convention or Canadian Council before the decision is communicated to the CLC and before disaffiliation is implemented. So that was kind of like the crux of our argument was that they didn't follow the proper process. They violated our Constitution. And this was not a decision that they had the right to unilaterally make. That rests on our Canadian Council delegates or our convention delegates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very striking. You'd think people would think of it. It's, I guess, the classic expression, cart before the horse.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, the right thing, wouldn't it have been to say that they were unhappy with the current relationship because of Article 4 or whatever of the CLC, and then say, we will be recommending at the next sitting of the Canadian Council that we disaffiliate. In other words, and we would have gone through a kind of a process where you all could have debated it for the 7 months, I guess.
Yeah, well, that would have been the democratic thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that they didn't do that? I mean, how much effort did they put in? If I'm reading your article, I think I see the phrase that there was zero effort to persuade members on this matter, that it was they didn't take any input. In other words, they didn't go around and say, what do you think? Is that right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we were all completely blindsided by this. I mean, obviously, they've been speaking about it at some length in the upper echelons of the brass of our national union, right? But folks like myself on Labor Council, tons of other people in Unifor involved in Labor Councils, we were just completely blindsided by this decision. There was no input or really any hint that this was even being considered. I mean, we were at the CLC convention. They talked about having a joint committee to look into Article 4, and Unifor was excluded from that process, along with the workers from ATU, because certainly it was their conflict that created the tension within the CLC to begin with, right? So, we knew that was all happening, and but certainly no one reached out to any of the people who would be directly directly affected by this decision.
Yeah, and there was, I think also you point out, you weren't the only local to raise a question about this.
No, not at all. There were a few locals in Ottawa, I believe 2025, I apologize to those folks if I forget some of the numbers. I know Local 88.
I'm not a numbers man anyhow.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Yeah, Local 88, the workers at CAMI out in Ingersoll there, they filed an appeal as well. But actually, our appeal was the only one that was accepted. Mm-hmm. A few of them were denied on the basis of, you know, the time length, the time that they took to send it in, even though some of these preempted our appeal, which is just bizarre to us. We still haven't received a satisfactory explanation for how that appeal was turned down by the Committee on Constitutional Matters. But, so it wasn't just a lone effort here in 222.
Yeah. And this is Corey Weir of, and I do have it right, it's 222, right?
Yep, that's correct.
I think I was adding a two there a while ago. So, now you have had the council meeting. That's what I was interested in, the coincidence of time. The decision comes from the Public Review Board almost just days before the council finally did meet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a process, and it's a lengthy process because...
do these guys call each other and say, what do...
Well, I don't know, but I do know that the Public Review Board is appointed by the National Executive Board.
Yeah.
But I believe them to be impartial, and I do have faith in this process.
Well, you were happy with the outcome. You certainly got, at least on your end, you were shown to know, understand your Constitution.
Yeah. No, absolutely. We're, you know, obviously we believed that we would win this. Otherwise, we wouldn't have filed it, right? But
Well, now, a lot of people, we're all concerned with where the CLC is going and where your union, Unifor, is going, because we're talking about major entities and the impacts on Ontario Federation of Labour and impacts on Metro Labour Council. Is there, on the part of your executive, or maybe actually you could speak of your own local, is there an intent to repair and restore relations with the Canadian Labour Congress? What's the do you understand what the strategy is from... any of the sides? You can choose one, actually.
Yeah, I can. I know locally our executive board, you know, we have a proud tradition of supporting our local labor council, and to my knowledge, they've continued to do that informally somehow. I'm not sure how it all plays out because, you know, technically accepting dues from a non-affiliated entity goes against the CLC constitution, but it's, you know, it's a big mess. I'm not sure what the strategy is, but I do know that it's not going to get solved by parting into two separate camps. The only way that we can solve this problem is by being in the same room together and, you know, working towards a resolution that, you know, maybe both sides won't be happy with, but at least we'll be able to march forward as a unified labor movement in this country.
Yeah. Well, that was your goal in opposing. You wanted to see that Unifor remain in the Canadian Labor Congress. You were not impressed with the rationale for leaving.
No, it was, you know, it seemed kind of knee-jerk. Obviously, you know, a lot of us think it had to do with the rating, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if we had have called for a special convention to look into, you know, opening up Article 4 again, you know, the window to sign those cards from the from Unite Here would have closed. So, you know, I think that was the impetus for their rush on the decision. But yeah.
Well, we really hope it gets worked on. I mean, actually, you heard us say at the top of the show, I mean, here we have a situation. Is kind of reflected every year. We have Labor Day. Unions march to the CNN. Now, we just mentioned that decision is made not to go. They will not cross that picket line if it exists there, and I don't see it going away because they've been locked out. It's entirely in the hands of the employer.
Yeah.
My understanding is Unifor has called for something at City Hall, Toronto, and I couldn't tell. I have to confess, and I'm not putting you on the spot. You may not know either. I don't know what their intentions are, but here you see we have a labor movement that is not in the best mood, and people are starting to actually snipe at each other. Not a good time for this kind of problem.
No, certainly not. And I mean, you know, regardless of what's happening in the upper echelons and the bureaucracy of our, you know, leadership brass, the rank-and-file workers that, you know, put in the work on the ground, they're always going to do that regardless of what banner we're under. We all stand united in that. But, yeah, certainly we do need a united front against things like this. Like the CNE, the 400 workers are locked out.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, not marching in, not going and withdrawing our support, that's a good start. That's kind of the bare minimum of what we can do.
Yeah.
You know, writing letters, you know, it's pretty lukewarm. What we should be doing is focusing the full power of our Ontario Federation of Labor and shutting down the CNE.
Yeah, go down.
Why not march? You know, we should
go to the gates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This is what happens. You have what? You have Ford and Tory, and they seem to be the kind of folks that just don't knock themselves out for labor. And when they get a chance to knock labor out, they do it. Corey, by the way, again, I want to thank you. That's a good article, and it's published August 17, Solonet. Is it solonet.com?
Solonet.ca.
S-O-L-N-I-T. Yeah, and... And at that the article, readers will find the decision of the board, right?
Yeah. So we've fully published it. One thing I do want to mention in there, though, is that our local recording secretary, who filed it on behalf of the local, because the local owns this appeal. It was passed by our general membership meeting, so it was filed on behalf of Local 222.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the applicant in there is named, unfortunately, erroneously, as our recording secretary. So I don't want the messenger to get shot here.
Yeah.
He was just doing his job. Yeah. I can't speak for him, but our membership certainly spoke on this issue.
Exactly. You don't bother the mailman if you don't like the bills. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Corey, it's again terrific article, and we really appreciate you giving us the time. And we look forward to learning more about this down the road. And I like your suggestions about what people should do at the CNE. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye.
Taylor Report, CIT 89.5.
Phil, let's do that website again. Yeah. It's Solinet, SOLINET.ca.
Good. And by the way, for our listeners, you can find us where?
Taylor Report on Facebook and
Facebook.com/.
Right, but if you're on Facebook, you go to the Taylor Report.
You weren't at rehearsals. Right. That's the thing that happens.
And Taylor-Report on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.